into the ring if you're ready to care.
What is up, everybody? It is your boy, the one, the only, We Too Deep. And we are back with another episode. This is the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. And we got some interesting conversation to have as we break down the last few days of wrestling. We talk about Saturday night's main event. We talk about Battleground, and I'll give my thoughts on Double or Nothing. But before we get there, as always, like, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends about the YouTube channel. If you want this to, you know, if you want to support and listen, but you don't want to watch the video podcast, you just want to listen to the audio, there are options for that on the internet. Go to, if you're watching, or excuse me, listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or whatever source it is that you're listening to the show on, we appreciate you. Will you leave us a 5-star review? That tells the algorithms for that podcast site to bump us up into the recommended, put us in the algorithm, get us up the charts. I personally believe that the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast is the best wrestling podcast of its kind, and that is fan opinion with community engagement, right? I understand you have the legends type podcast, right? Your Cornettes, your Undertakers, you know, Cody Rhodes now has a podcast that looks like it's about to be more boring than any Cody Rhodes promo. You know, Stephanie has a podcast now. WWE's getting back into the pod. Remember when they had podcasts, right? And then they killed that whole division. Well, they're bringing it back, apparently, right? I guess Fanatics is willing to support and fund all the podcast division there now because they're bringing it back. You know, of this kind of pod, the fan podcast, right? I do believe Slapping Meat Wrestling is the greatest in that we offer the best conversations. We are very community-centered, as we have an entire segment dedicated to your questions that you have for me. And the fact that any of you guys take the time out to listen to me is fantastic. I thank you. The best way for you to support the community is to leave a comment, like, share, and subscribe. And if possible, if this is something you, again, I wish I had some to show you, slappingmewrestling.com, buy some merchandise. That's enough housekeeping, don't you think? Let's jump in to this opening rant, right, that I want to talk about. Before we break down any of the shows, this sort of opening rant is going to come from a place where I think this sets up a lot of where I'm going to come from in my reaction to a lot of these events, right? So, we're going to talk about wrestling and 2025 as a general overarching thing. And when I talk about wrestling, what I'm talking about is televised wrestling, right? I'm not talking about the indies at this moment. I'm talking about mainstream televised shows. That's WWE, that's AEW, right? This isn't even TNA. I don't consider them mainstream as they don't have a mainstream TV deal. AEW and WWE in 2025. It's one word, six letters. Boring. That's right. I said it. Boring. Capital B. Capital O. Capital R. Capital I. Capital N. Capital G. Boring. Right? But no, but we're too deep. The storyline cheating. They're planting seeds for something big. You plant all the seeds you want. If you don't water them with compelling television, guess what? I'm turning the channel. I'm flipping the channel. Right? Both companies right now, on a week-to-week basis, right? And we're going to talk about their PLEs and stuff like that. But from a week-to-week basis, the weekly television is absolutely boring. AEW on one side is doing way too much wrestling, and they're not balancing it out with any promos or any vignettes or backstage segments. It's strictly, like, there was a Dynamite that I felt within the first hour had five matches. It's way too much wrestling. I love pro wrestling. Five matches in an hour is too much, right? WWE, on the other hand, does backstage segments, vignettes, interviews, commercial after commercial, and they don't do near as much any wrestling. You'll get about three matches in a three-hour show, right? SmackDown is unwatchable. SmackDown's unwatchable. I'm sorry. Monday Night Raw flip-flops between being a really good show and being a compelling TV watch, like I thought last week was, and then being with whatever the hell this yesterday night was. I don't need, we're going to talk about it. There's not much for me to talk about with Monday Night Raw. I'm just going to be honest. I fell asleep. I made the conscious decision around 9:30 to turn the television off and go to sleep. And that's 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, by the way. To make the conscious decision to go to sleep. CM Punk wasn't even on the screen. And I still got hit with the GTS. We'll talk about him in a minute. But you can plant all the seeds you want. If you don't water them with any compelling storylines and narratives in the week-to-week television, I don't care what the long-term plan, right? Even with the Seth Rollins thing, right? When we talk about Monday Night Raw, and I'll go ahead and get this out of the way because I did not watch Monday Night Raw. The only thing that I watched that I enjoyed was the Rollins segment, because we got a reason why Bronson Reed was there, and we got compelling logic, and that was it. That's the only thing that made sense up until the 9:30 point. After that, we had two qualifiers that were good matches, but there's no story. There's nothing compelling about what we watched out after the Seth Rollins segment. Again, we'll talk about WWE here, right? I do appreciate the effort to build a long time story, right? I do appreciate it, but it feels like there isn't any story left with it, and it feels like what they're doing, and I can sort of see past the Seth Rollins gimmick with. This is the bloodline. Just completely reiterate, like completely reimagine. This is the bloodline, right? And this Jey Uso lightning in the bottle, it's run its course. It's run its course. Sami Zayn, I you know what? The pop is going to be great in Saudi when he wins Rumble. The pop is going to be great at Mania, no matter what city it's in. You know, they haven't fully announced it's Vegas, but I'm assuming it's going to be Vegas. The pop's going to be big there if he wins the title. And that long-term story will be fine. But Sami Zayn's highly annoying on television. He comes off as a super annoying crybaby on TV, right? And the tag team division's just completely bad, just awful. This drama with the Judgment Day is just not even interesting anymore. It's the same repeat, cycle, repeat, rewash. Which girl are we going to put in Dominic's face this time? Who's going to give him the chicken nuggets? Right. It's not good. It's not compelling. Right. You got Solo and on SmackDown with JC Mateo. And this story is actually pretty interesting. It's just on a show where there's zero compelling anything. John Cena's heel turn's not good at all. There's potential, but The Rock sort of ruined it with Mania. And so I really just stopped caring about it. Right. Cody Rhodes just came back, but I don't know what they're doing with him. Karrion Kross is the most over dude on Monday Night Raw. And I say that, and I don't think that's a hot take. He's the most over dude on Monday Night Raw, and he doesn't get television time. I don't know what they're doing with Rusev. They're having him beat Akira Tozawa like it matters. Now he's fighting Sheamus, which isn't even in one iota interesting. Gunther's probably your best, most consistent star on a week-to-week basis, and his booking is all over the place. Right, you go over to AEW, and Collision is an absolute snore fest. There's a reason only 300,000 people watch the show, and it's not because it's Saturday night. It's because it's absolutely a waste of 2 hours of television. There's a reason it gets pulled off the TV. Dynamite's not much better. The only story they've been building over the last, couple of months is this MJF thing, and it's not. I'm not even compelled by MJF joining the Hurt Syndicate. The Death Rider thing has run its course, and the rumor is it's going to play out until Wrestle Dream in Washington, where Darby's going to win the belt. That's my prediction. I don't think he loses it at All In. They're building towards All In. And so they built this Owen Cup tournament, and I'm not against predictable booking, but none of what happened on this pay-per-view on Double or Nothing, right? None of it was at all hard to guess. Some of the picks that I got wrong on that show were just maybe twists because I know Tony likes to fuck around, right? But yeah, we'll talk about Double or Nothing when we get there. Right. Tony Khan's out here booking 35-minute trios matches with zero stakes. We get another 8-man. We get an all-star tag team match 1 week. We get the same all-star tag team match the next week, but the teams are a little bit different or different result. We get a mid-card match with zero stakes, but there's $400,000 on the line. And then the next week's the same competitors, but now there's $100,000. None of it makes any sense. There's no storyline, right? There's no balance between the programs, right? Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays are really boring right now. And this isn't me complaining. This is solely me saying, look, I want these shows to be good. And I'm calling it out because there's two other types of fans. You got the homers, whether it's AEW or WWE, who are going to say, no, our show's not bad. The other show's bad, but we're not. And then you got the people who are just going to hate for the sake of hating. And this isn't hating for the sake of hating. This is solely saying, I want the show to be good. I want to be able to watch on Monday for 2.5 hours and enjoy what I'm watching. And when you put on good programming, those 2.5 hours are really quick, but there are some shows you put on that lull me to sleep. I mean, Money in the Bank is next Saturday, the 7th. We literally have like 12 days until Money in the Bank. And a lot of the problem is I feel like WWE's schedule has put them in a situation where you can't book long term or even you can't book a 6-week story when you have a PLE every 2 weeks or some sort of special event every 2 weeks. You don't have the ability to do that. And so I feel this schedule that they've booked themselves into is really harming the booking. AEW, I don't have a reason other than Tony Khan's incompetent, right? And so wrestling is really boring. Feels like we're running in place. We're in an era right now with both companies where the rosters are probably the best it's ever been. WWE's women's division is the best women's wrestling division of all time. Of any company of all time, WWE's women's wrestling division is the best of all time. And it's going nowhere. Lazy writing, bad matches. There's no storytelling. It's dry, it's bland, it's lazy. AEW's got amazing wrestlers like Ricochet and Swerve. WWE's got Andrade, Carmelo Hayes. And all right, they're floating in space right now with no clear direction. Right, and really, it's come to a point now where it feels like the fans aren't popping for moments, they're popping for moves. And a lot of this comes back to the AEW, ROH, PWG style where it's just move after move after move after move, spot after spot after spot. In WWE's case, commercial after commercial. We'll talk about that in a minute. Right? They pop for moves and spots, but never for moments. And that's a death sentence for wrestling, right? We've come to a place where I hate to do this to people, but I really don't. There's, you know, in we're going to get a little religious here for a minute. This is the best example I know how to give, right? In the Christian religion, there is a saying not to be hot or not to be cold, or excuse me, be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm or I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, right? It's in the book of Revelation. God says that to one of the seven churches that the book is written to, saying that you're lukewarm. I want you to be hot or to be cold, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. And that goes very well with wrestling, right? You could be bad and like really bad, or you could be really good. And then, because there's still things to talk about and people will talk about the programming, right? But when you're in the middle, when you're lukewarm, when you're boring, when there's nothing really to talk about. Like, this was a hard week to plan two episodes of wrestling podcasting content about, because there's not a lot to talk about. There's just not. There's zero emotion in any programming. There's no real big feeling that anything big's going to happen, right? You know, I'm watching the shows, I'm checking my phone. Right. It's just bad. Right. Here's, I don't really know if I have 100%, I haven't thought through a solution, but I think it's really easy. What do I always say? 90% of wrestling is booking. This all eventually comes back to the creative team. You just need to make everything that happens on TV mean something. Give the titles that you have, make them mean something. Give them a story. Make them interesting. Make the championships matter. Stop running rematches. I'm tired of seeing the same 7 to 8 wrestlers fighting each other every single week. Make me care for why a match is happening, even if that means less matches during a show. More promos that lead us in a story and don't just come off for sound bites, because a lot of times it feels like these promos are like what I called out, these grifter podcasters who they don't really give a lot of substance. They just give a lot of scripted stuff that they turn into a sound bite to produce, like to put on TikTok. And that's what a lot of these promos sound like, right? In AEW, they sound like rap battles. How hard can I dig at this person? And then how hard can he come back at me, right? More promos that actually push a story. that aren't just sound bites. More realism, more passion, more tension, more reason to care. Right? Right now, wrestling just feels like noise. WWE's got great production, right? Outside of the music. The music's awful, but there's flashy entrances. There's crazy spots all over the place. And it what comes out on the screen is a boring product. I'm sure going to these shows live is fun. I'm not going to take away that. But sitting behind the screen, watching the television show, these shows are boring. It's boring. Absolutely boring. But with that being said, let's talk about some wrestling. So let's talk about Saturday night's main event. I'm not going match for match. I'm being honest with you. This show was the worst of the weekend. By far, without a doubt. First off, no reason to put no reason to put Zelina, wrong title. Wrong mid-card women's title that's not being used properly. There was no reason to put Zelina versus Chelsea on this card whatsoever. Not a single reason to put them on this card. This should have been a four-match card. Right? That match was solely put on the card to appease this woke crowd that was upset that there were no women's matches on this card. Guys, guess what? So what? Women who listen to this podcast, I want a genuine response from you, right? Whether it's in the Discord, whether it's in the comment section, I want a genuine response from you, right? Would you have been okay if this match was not on the card, given that the match that they gave you was not good at all? I understand this idea that you want like equal opportunities. Would you not have rather this match been saved for July or for a SmackDown where they gave it? This is sort of like the Street Profits match that we got, the TLC match on the SmackDown following WrestleMania, where everyone was like, well, this match needs to be on Mania. And then the actual logical response that I would come back at you was, but if it was, it would have only gotten 5 minutes, would not have been as good as what we got. We only got a good match because it wasn't on Mania, right? If this match was on a Friday night where it got 30 minutes in a main event spot, would that not have made more noise, right? Women, like, would that not have been better representation than getting a 7-minute match that was a little bit sloppy, that didn't have any real meaning and no one's talking about, right? I think we have to understand the difference between equality and equity. Women's wrestling is in the best place it's ever been in the history of the business. I don't think we need to force these things for the sake of we need a women's match on the card. We didn't need this match. But to be fair, we didn't need any of these matches that were on this card, right? The one thing that I do want to talk about, this was something that was going on in the Discord, a conversation we were having. And the cool thing that I like about what the community that I want to form is we're not afraid to talk about some controversial things. This is going to be a controversial segment that I want to lay some foundation on, right? Ever since the day, it's almost 2 years to the day, right? We're about a month away from 2 years since the day that I got canceled on TikTok for using similar arguments to what I'm about to make now, because my opinion on certain issues like this do not matter, right? But Sami Zayn came out wearing red and green, and he had Arabic, which nothing really changed about his gear. It wouldn't have made me think about anything personally until I saw CM Punk wearing the same colors. This was obviously a statement. This was obviously a statement of support towards Palestine. Now, I want to say this. I understand this is very convoluted, very nuanced, but here's the issue. It's really not. I'm not going to sugar. I told you guys, I'm going to be real, be raw, and be relevant. I'm not going to hide behind this. Well, it's nuanced. It's very difficult. It's not very difficult. The situation should be very, very clear as to what's going on here, right? First off, the first thing that I want to say is the same thing that I said June 30th when I was talking about, go figure, the same guy, CM Punk. When you're on the clock, when you are wrestling for a company, your personal opinions need to stay on the other side of the curtain. I don't care if you're Dwayne. I don't care if you're Roman Reigns. I don't care if you're Sami Zayn. I don't care. Your personal opinions about politics or whatever it is need to stay behind the curtain. Because when you come across the curtain, you're no longer Phil Brooks, right? You're no longer... You're no longer... I do apologize about that sound. The TV just randomly turned on. Anyway, let's get back and focused. You're no longer Phil Brooks. You're CM Punk. You're no longer Rami Sabay. I hope I said that last name right. You're Sami Zayn. I don't care what your personal opinions are. Look, Sami Zayn, when Sami Zayn is at home or on the internet, can say whatever he wants about his support for Palestine. I, on a personal level, think he's on the wrong side of this. I do. Just 100%. But I do respect his right to have the ability to say it. Here's what people don't understand. Is when you work for a company, especially a privately owned company that isn't, that isn't, you know, controlled by the government, the First Amendment has limitations, right? The First Amendment only protects you against the government, right? A privately owned company can step in to certain limits and say, while you're on the clock with us, you can't say these things because they go against what we believe. Now, they wouldn't have done this in this case to Sami Zayn because the personal outrage that WWE would have gotten if they would have told Sami Zayn not to support Palestine would not be good for their money, right? For their business, right? But they should have. And here's why. It has nothing to do with Palestine or Israel, but it does. And we'll get to why I think it does in a minute. What really should be at focus here is these protests, these pro-Palestine protests. And I understand this side is nuanced because I understand the response coming back to me from the IWC will be, well, we're pro-Palestine, not pro-Hamas. Guys, I understand there's a nuance there. But being pro-Palestine is being pro-Hamas because Hamas is the government of Palestine. It would be like saying that being pro-America isn't being pro-whatever, right? If we had a tyrant leader, right, supporting the country is supporting the leader, right? I'll go ahead and say this, right? I don't understand the idea of populism or nationalism of like, oh, I'm pro-American and I'm proudly American. Guys, I'm proud to be born and to be a citizen of the greatest country on the face of the earth. But when it comes down to it, I'm not afraid to call them out for their bullshit. And there's been a lot of bullshit in our history. Right? Being pro-Palestine is supporting Hamas. Right? Whether or not you agree with that, that's a whole different thing. Here's the facts of the situation, right? This isn't just Israel throwing bombs at Hamas or at Palestine for no reason. There is a genuine reason why Israel is defending itself. I'm not pro-Israel, by the way, right? Because the accusations that the IWC is going to throw at me is, oh, here's another Zionist sellout. Guys, I could care absolutely one iota about Israel. I don't think America should be fighting for the Israeli side. I don't think America should be giving any money towards Israel. Personally, 100%. I don't think we should be involved in foreign wars. But what I do believe is Israel has the right as a country with borders. This is why borders matter, right? I do believe Israel as a country with borders has the right to defend itself against terrorism, because people forget about October 7th, 2023, which was during one of their holidays, right? Because these terrorists do what they always do. And when I say them, I don't mean just this group. I mean, terrorism takes the same point. They wait to a holiday, or they wait till the people are the weakest, right? So it's a Saturday. So they're under Sabbath, Shabbat, and it's also a holy day. And because of this, the Jews, they're not able to be on the internet. They're not able to, they're going to be weak because they're fasting. Most of them are, right? Now the people out at the more secularized Jews in Israel, or non-religious Hebrews, were the ones, or non-religious Israelis were the ones that were captured at these festivals. But Hamas is not guiltless here. Palestine is harboring terrorists in their government. Israel has the right to defend themselves. I'll just stop there. And so when we get to employees of a company on a week, literally 2 days after a pro-Palestine protester murders, and I use strong language, murders two Messianic Christians from Israel who worked for the Israeli embassy, I believe, murdered in broad daylight in Washington, D.C. I didn't hear anyone talking about this on the news, by the way, which is crazy to me. There's a reason why, but it's crazy to me. And then WWE allows this to, and whether or not it was a message was sent. People interpreted it, them wearing those colors, a specific way. Very, and this alienates your Jewish base. It does. I'm sure Paul Heyman doesn't mind. I really don't think he cares. But this alienates your Israeli fan base, 100%. Any of your Jewish fans, I'm sure, if this was the protest, this really alienates them. This alienates a lot of your fan base, to be honest with you, because there are a lot of Americans who are 100% on the support. We must support Israel, that anything anti-Israel will alienate them, right? And my line of my opinion on business is anything that could potentially alienate the fan base and cause arguments or division should not be allowed on television. Does that mean Sami Zayn can't wear red and green? No, he's always wore red and green. Right? But allowing this type of messaging, because it means different when Phil Brooks comes out. This isn't just, oh, he's being united with his teammates, right? Because he didn't do it when he showed up with the Bloodline. He didn't put on black and red. He wore his normal, either the Chicago colors, or he's been wearing Bret Hart colors. No. This was a statement to be made. And I don't care that the statement was made. Here's where I have a really bad problem with this. If a wrestler came and wore pro-Israeli colors, and they wore the Star David or something like that, there would be outrage in the IWC. 100%. This is what I want to talk about when it comes to... And this is sad that all Saturday Night Main Event has really been brought down to was this, and one other thing we'll talk about in a minute, But this is the double standard that I've been calling out since I've been canceled on TikTok. Was there is a double standard among the a majority of the IWC that tend to lean more Democrat, leftist, whatever you want to call them, right? I don't mean for this to be political, but this is a political statement, right? I always say this, you may not be political, but politics, you may not be you may not be about politics, but politics surely is about you, right? You may not want to talk about politics. You may not care about politics, but politics really does care about you. Everything about, right? This was a political statement. This was a little secret little protest that he could get away with. And look, all fine for you. I don't, it really doesn't bother me that that they did it. What bothers me is that they did it. They're being paraded. But if the opposite happened, the double standard comes out and they would be hated for it, right? I always bring up someone like Kane who gets, anytime he says a conservative opinion on Twitter, he gets bombed and rushed and ratioed and all of this crazy shit, right? And so I just, my personal opinion, right? My personal opinion is if you're going, unless it's part of your gimmick, right? Because then the conversation got switched to wearing the colors is no different than wearing the gay flag, which I could see the argument for. And we actually have a question about this in a minute when we get to the questions from the Discord that I'll explain a little bit more what I'm saying. But I want to go ahead and get this point out in this argument that I personally feel that if your gimmick, if the only thing, because first off, we're watching characters, right? So you're supposed to tell me a story. You're supposed to be playing a character because this is a TV show. And for me, if your gimmick is solely based on a racial, religious, sexual identity, you know, how you identify, you have a bad gimmick. If you're only known as the gay wrestler, you have a bad gimmick. If you're known as, oh, well, that's the Arab Muslim wrestler, which is all Sami Zayn plays himself up to be when he supports Palestine. He's the pro-Palestine wrestler, right? I would be this. I would be just as angry, right, if, you know, Hulk Hogan showed up at one of the Saturday Night Main events, right? And he came out to promote his beer, and he showed up backstage and is pro-Trump. I think it said, like, Make America Great Again or whatever on his shirt. And I saw a lot of people have a discussion that, oh, he should wear that on TV. No, he shouldn't. Because it's going to divide a base. And Hulk Hogan, if his gimmick now is just going to be, I'm pro-Trump, well, that's a bad gimmick. That's a bad gimmick. That's the cheap pop, right? I'm the black wrestler. That's a bad gimmick. If that's all your wrestling is about, is your racial identity, your sexual identity, your religious identity. And this goes both ways. This goes conservative. This goes liberal. This goes white, black, Hispanic. Right? If that's all you're known for, you have a bad gimmick. You're boring, which probably is why 90% of wrestling today is boring, because everyone's gimmicks are based on cosplay or identity or, right? Like, even Chelsea Green's gimmick is absolutely cringy as fuck. I'm sorry. And look, I'm trying to control my language here. This is just a personal aside. I'm trying to cuss, Les, bro. I am. Just a personal conviction. I'm trying to cuss, Les. But and so hold me accountable to that. But yeah, I think Chelsea Green's gimmick is cringy, right? Because she's clearly very outspoken on the left, like liberal as a liberal can get on Twitter. And so she's playing a gimmick that's 100% throwing shots at Donald Trump. That's all she's doing. And it's cringy. When you recognize what she's doing, it's really cringy. And it's not a good gimmick at all. It's not a good gimmick. right? It's not. It's a very bad gimmick that Chelsea Green is playing, right? And so the only other thing outside of this that I've seen really be talked about Saturday night's main event, outside of Bronson Reed joining what this no-name faction, which is wonderful, is the fact that in 2 hours, we got maybe 30 minutes of on-screen television that was wrestling. Because there was commercial after commercial after commercial after I'm not even kidding. They went to commercial at the end of a match, came back, did some sort of promo or vignette, then went right back to commercial, only to come back and do another backstage segment. And then we went to a match that had about 3 commercial breaks in the match itself. Commercial after commercial after commercial after commercial. It got annoying. It's part of the reason why I don't want SmackDown anymore, because it's commercial, picture in picture, commercial, right? It's bad. Monday Night Raw occasionally will be commercial. 5 minutes of commercial. 5 minute commercial, right? It's crazy, dude. And WWE is trying to seek as much ad revenue as they can. I get it. That's your business model. But you're going to really piss a lot of people off with that. You got to find a balance with this production, with this, you know, promo commercial money. Right? Saturday night's main event was awful. NXT Battleground, on the other hand, was such a great show. Such a great show. Miles Bourne showed up, did his thing. A couple shocking finishes with Sol Ruka retaining. And La Primera, Stephanie Vaquer retaining. I told y'all Trick Williams was going to win. This is solely a money thing so that they could sell out Slammiversary. 100% what my belief system is. This was such a great show. This was such a great show. And Amora's back, which wasn't the swerve that I thought they were going to do. That was a great little swerve there. Saul and Kalani put on such a great match. Miles Bourne, like I said, showed up. As much as I'm not a Jordan Grace fan, this match did its job. Wasn't my favorite Stephanie Vaquer match, but it did its job. What a match. What a card. Right. On the other hand, the only thing I'm going to say about AEW is, outside of the fact that I barely paid attention because I had that on, and I had so that I could get the results, and then I had the Battleground that I was actually paying attention to, and every now and then I would peek over, and from what I heard, the women's Mercedes versus Jamie Hayter was a banger. Which I wasn't surprised. Mercedes is probably one of the better women's wrestlers. She's just not very good on the character thing. And so for me, the lack of story. Another thing that I told everyone, right? Until Mercedes loses a match, I'm going to pick Mercedes to win. Right? Where I will talk about is that 95% of this card was not needed. Could have been on Dynamite. Was boring. Was meaningless. Bunch of meaningless matches outside the 2 Owens finals and Anarchy in the Arena. And Anarchy in the Arena is my the most annoying match, right? Because first off, Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, came out as the Founding Fathers, and they came out dressed like George Washington and Paul Revere. Bunch of fudging dorks. Bunch of dorks is what they are. And then they have this match where Kenny Omega, you know, so let's stop playing this music. Let's play some 2000s heavy rock and Let the Bodies Hit the Floor comes on. And they play that song for like 10 minutes while they're wrestling. And oh, my word. This match was so annoying. This match every single year is the most annoying match AEW puts on. It's well overbooked. It's a spot fest. Stupid stuff happens all the time. None of this had any purpose or meaning at all. And then we move on. And then Ospreay and Hangman Page had a decent match where Hangman won, like I said he would. And so it is what it is. I'm not upset with the card. I just think it was boring. And I think of the three shows, NXT did the best. You then have a Monday Night Raw, which I don't have any thoughts on outside of what I've already told you, because I was counting sheep at 9:30 because the show was so boring, right? And so I ain't got much more to talk about when it comes to wrestling. So we are going to go to our Discord questions. The first one that we have here from B-Master says, so my cousin said the reason why NXT is so great is because Shawn Michaels has free reign to do whatever he wants, like a blank canvas. What are your thoughts on this? So I'm going to be honest. I absolutely despise this logic. And here's why. Shawn Michaels doesn't have a blank canvas. He has to go through Triple H. Right? And so it's not like he can just do whatever he wants. Triple H is still the head booker. Right? Shawn Michaels is the guy making the creative decisions, obviously. But Triple H could step in at any time and say, wait, wait, wait now. I want this to happen. Right? He's on the executive producer card, right? And so I don't think that Shawn Michaels has a blank canvas. But this also lines up to me with the idea of like, well, Shawn Michaels has it easy because they don't have to travel all the time and this, that, and the third. And they make excuses all the time for why NXT should not be more highly respected amongst the non-hardcore dorks. That all they do is watch wrestling, right? The more casual fan base kind of disrespects NXT because they feel like it's a minor league, it's developmental. Therefore, there's a little bit more things that they can get away with, and I thoroughly disagree. I think this is the best show. And it's been struggling here on a week-to-week basis for me with a very bad top of the card, especially on the men's division. But still the best show every single week that you get on wrestling, right? Even guys that I respect, like JD from NY, kind of shit on NXT's weekly programming. And they see it as less than because they feel like it's developmental, which is the worst way to look at the programming because it's not developmental. It's Triple A, right? Your development, and I've been saying this is why they're doing these partnerships, right? Your developmental is TNA and Evolve and the Performance Center and Triple A. And then when you get on NXT, that's how you know you're no longer in developmental, right? The next question from DJ Wavy D, it's more of a question that he wants me to respond to. WWE should bring back a Rico gimmick to NXT. I had to ask for clarification. I said Rico as in effeminate or gay male character. I made a joke that we already have one. His name's Sami Zayn. And the queen of the real wrestling community, Kara, would agree with me. And so my actual answer to this is absolutely not. Here's why. I've already given the answer, right? As good as Velveteen Dream was, his gimmick was very, very, very one-dimensional. He was a fruitcake, right? Can I even say that anymore? I don't give a fuck, right? Just like I said, right? It's sort of the thing with like, Anthony Bowens, right? Anthony Bowens in in AEW, he's not marketed this way now. He's the 5-star player, and I actually like his gimmick, right? But there was a point in time when he was with I don't even remember the name of the team anymore. Scissor me, daddy ass. I don't remember the name of that fucking team anymore. Anyway, but when he was with that team with Caster and Billy Gunn, it felt like all he was known as, oh, well, he's the gay one, right? And I feel that that's why he didn't go much further, right? Same thing with someone like Nyla Rose or a Giselle Shaw. Oh, well, they're the transgender ones, right? Anytime their name gets mentioned, it's, oh, well, Nyla Rose, that's the transgender one, right? And so when that's your gimmick, because Nyla Rose really didn't have a gimmick. Giselle Shaw, as far as I know, doesn't really have a gimmick. They're just known as their identity that they identify as, right? And again, they have every equal right to identify however they want, right? But when that's your wrestling gimmick, it's not going to get you very far. I think even in this culture, having a more effeminate gay, first off, for me, it would be an instant no. Just, I don't necessarily think that type of gimmick would interest me at all. And I feel like that is solely, that would solely be done to cater to and pander to. And it, to me, it would come off as pandering, 100%. Right? Like I'm looking at the calendar and I recognize that Saturday or Sunday, I forgot which day it is, right, is June 1st, right? And you already know what's going to happen. May 31st, I don't know how many days are in this month. The last day of May, everybody's Facebook pages, every major corporation's Facebook page is going to have their standard logo. You're going to wake up on June 1st, and every single company is going to have scheduled, because I do think that it's a weekend, and is going to have scheduled to change their profile picture to the LGBTQ flag because Pride Month starts. And look, I don't have an issue with it. If you identify as that, that's you, right? On a personal level, that's you, right? But can we just be honest? Those companies doing that are pandering, because what's going to happen is July 1st, they're going to convert back and they're going to laugh their way to the bank because they pandered again. And so to me, not only is it a bad gimmick, if that's the only thing you're known as is I'm the gay effeminate wrestler, it's a bad gimmick. But secondly, it's going to come off to me as, well, you're just pandering to a very small portion of the fan base, or of the population that may make up a larger percent of the fan base, but you're pandering to, and I honestly believe that's a small portion of the fan base. I think there's a large portion of people who watch wrestling who don't want that stuff, who may feel like me, you have every right in the world to identify however you want. With that, I will say this, the amazing thing about the First Amendment that they love to throw up is, sure, you have the right to say whatever you want. The wonderful part about the First Amendment is that also gives me the right to not give a fuck, right? And to disagree with you. And so my argument is this: feel however you want on the other side of the curtain. Don't force it down my throat. Don't force it down anybody else's throat. That's probably a bad pun for talking about gay characters, but don't force the character upon the TV screen for the sake of just having a gay character, right? I don't necessarily think it does anything for the show. And then the last question, who do you see as a future WWE champion from NXT, male or female? Again, a lot of this deals with booking, but as we're looking now, I think Stephanie Vaquer will be women's champion at some point. I think Oba Femi will definitely be champion at some point. I think Javon Evans will be a world champion. I think he has that underdog type gimmick that they're trying to do with Jey Uso. They'll give him that type of run. I don't know if necessarily I agree with it, but I do feel he can have that run. I think Kalani Jordan has the skills to be world champion. I wonder what her booking is like. The women's division's tough because outside of Stephanie and Sol Ruka, I don't really know at this point. There's a lot of really good talent down there. A lot of this is based on booking. I'm going to be completely honest. How are you going to book them once they get to the main roster? Because 2 years ago, I would have said Carmelo Hayes 100% would be world heavyweight champion. I don't know if I feel that way now. All right, now we're going to end the show. That was the end of our questions from the Discord. We'll end it with bracket battles, like we always do. This is how we'll end the show. So our winners from last week were Break the Walls Down. They beat APA. Drew McIntyre's Broken Dreams beats Taz. Judas, technically Judas and Glorious tie. In the case of a tie, I'm just going to pick the winner at my expense. And I pick Judas to move forward because that's who I voted for. And then Colt the Personality beat Metalingus. So this week's will be Eric Bischoff, I'm Back, versus Randy Orton, Voices. CM Punk, This Fire Burns, versus Mark Henry, Somebody Gonna Get Their Ass Kicked. Roman Reigns, Head of the Table, versus Shelton Benjamin, Ain't No Stopping Me Now. Gangrel's Brood versus Cody Rhodes, Kingdom. That's our vote. Go join the Discord, and you can 100% participate in voting. Those polls will be up as soon as this episode is over. Thank you all for listening. My name's Weed Too Deep. This has been another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'll see you on Friday.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.